Okay, so this morning we're going to be discussing a fourth way to be menatzeach badin, how to succeed in din. This past month we've been doing every week a different derech, a different approach, just to summarize what we've done already in the past. We have been mitzdarif ourselves to a tzibur, been dan lekav schos. Last week we spoke about being Mavra al Midais, and this week we're going to discuss, I guess it's going to be the final one of this series, but there are more, but these are the ones that I chose to talk about. And the final one is to do what we call Lamancha. And let me describe what this approach is this morning. When I was a bachar in yeshiva, so a friend of mine asked me if I wanted to do something different this coming Sunday. So I said, all right, what? So he said that there was a mayoral inauguration in New York City. It was Giuliani's inauguration. He was being inaugurated as mayor. This was before 9/11, so that's why this story could actually happen. And he saw an article, an ad in a classified in the Jewish press, I think it was, that they're looking for volunteers to, I don't know what it was, but it was they're looking for volunteers to help out at the inauguration. And, you know, my friend said, it sounds interesting, you want to do it with me? I said, okay. So we went the morning of the inauguration, and we met at one of these city buildings in downtown Manhattan. They didn't know who I was. I didn't know who they were. I could have been a serial killer. Like, they'd have no idea who I was. It was before 9/11. You didn't need any clearance. You didn't need any ID. No, they just basically wrote your name down. And there was a group of us. Maybe there were 15, 20 people from different walks of life. From different denominations, different racial backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and we were all just there to volunteer, whatever that meant. We all were given, without asking who we were all given one of those necklaces with an official-looking badge on it. And I had it until Hurricane Sandy hit my house in Long Beach, when I had to throw out like half of my stuff. It all got ruined from the water. But it was like a laminated badge. It said, it was very cool. It had like a picture of City Hall, and it had like Mayor Giuliani's, inauguration and the date. And it looked very shtaddy. And then basically we put it on, and suddenly as soon as we put it on, then we were let out of this room, and we were like the big knockers at the inauguration. I had no training. Giuliani or any people on his staff had no idea who I was. I put on this little badge, and suddenly, like, they looked at me like I was the big know-it-all. And during the actual inauguration, I was standing like very official looking, like behind, like very near the mayor. It was like ridiculous. And then afterwards, I remember like Rav Moshe Scherer was there. He was the one that did like the bracha at the inauguration, whatever it is. And he asked me like if I could get him, out of the building quicker or whatever, and I don't remember if I helped him or I dafka didn't. I don't know what I did anymore at that time. But, and then I escorted, you're not going to believe it, I escorted the mayor and his whole entourage through Gracie Mansion, I think it was, or City, wherever it was that he was inaugurated. I don't know if it was the City Hall building or Gracie Mansion, or I don't even know, that might be the same building. And then they, and like everybody was looking to me as if I was like, the head of Secret Service or whatever, just because I was wearing this silly little badge that they gave me for just showing up. And it was a really, really, cool experience. I got a lot of bragging rights, a lot of conversation pieces on dates for the next few years on that. But the point of the story is that sometimes in life, doors open up for a person because they can be identified as being on a certain staff or as a certain position. Sometimes, you know, if you have a certain badge, if you have a certain ID card, people just respect you all of a sudden, and you're able to get a lot of things that if you would not have that, they would all your doors would be locked, and now suddenly you're able to have this ID or this badge, and whether it's completely deservant or not, doors are open wide for you. That's just the reality. That's the metzias in this world, and that's, I saw that with my own eyes, and you know, it's true today. You go to the White House, if you don't have any ID on you, they ain't letting you in. You have to make a reservation, you know, months in advance. But if you have a little security clearance card, you know, please step right in. You know, you can go as far as you're allowed to go. I think the same is true to a certain degree with the Yemei HaDin. There is the hard way to get through the Yemei HaDin, and then there's the easier way to get through the Yemei HaDin. The hard way is you have to go through the entire din. We don't want to do that. That's what we've been trying to work on the last 4 weeks. We're trying to circumvent the din because kilo yitztak adam ba-din, it's not shayach really for us to stand under the bright lights of interrogation on din and get through it because we, you know, we're flawed. We have a lot of averis in our hands. We have a lot of machshavas that weren't good, a lot of shleil shmas, and a lot of things that we're not proud of. And even if we today think that we're really good, that's only because our memory is very short. We forgot about all the stuff that we did in the summer and last Nisan and last Adar and last Kislev. We have a lot to answer for. If a person would keep a cheshbon nefesh, an exact tally, like the Sifrei Musar say to do, of all that we do wrong in our life, then we would be, you know, we'd have a notebook, you know, like this for, and then some for the year of Tavshanayin Tes. So to get through din and say, I'm gonna get through, you know, the hard way, I could do it, not advisable at all. So we have to somehow get that card, we have to get that VIP pass so that we're able to get through the TSA guards and all the guards with much greater ease. So what is that card? What is that? What, how do we get that? Everyone wants that. What do you call that in the airports that you have the, what?
Pre-check.
How do you get that pre-check card? It's so great. You don't have to stand on those lines. You just circumvent the whole thing. That's what we want, Rosh Hashanah, right? That's what we want to do. So the Sifrei Musar say that what we have to do is we have to say to the Rabbeinu Shalom that everything that I do in my life is not for me. Everything that I do in my life is lemancha. It's for you. I'm dedicating my life for you. Meaning, I'm on your staff, I'm working for you, I have your badge, I'm not a regular person. I'm not a person like everybody else that's living for themselves and focusing solely on their own taivas, their own gaivas, their own ups and downs and halach yelech of life, the ebbs and flow in life, is for me. I'm doing it for you. Everything that I do is not personal. It's not about me. It's about you. That's what we say every day by davening, starting with Rosh Hashanah until after Yom Kippur. We say, what do we say in Shemoneh Esrei? L'mancha l'kim chayim. Zachreinu l'chayim, remember us for life. Melech chapetz b'chayim, you're the king that wants life. V'chasvein m'sever chayim, and you should write us in the book of life. Why? L'mancha l'kim chayim, because I am living for you. If it was a life for me, I can't claim that I deserve another year of life. For what? So that I can eat pizza, I can eat sushi, I can go to Great Adventure, I can watch movies, I can. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlomo says. Okay, you're right. You deserve another year of life. And if we want that year of life, then we have to prove that we're worthy and that we have more mitzvahs and averas and that whole deal. But if a person can honestly go before the Rebbeinu Shlomo and say, "Listen, this life that I am living, I am dedicating to you. I'm on your team. I'm on your staff. I'm working lemancha. This year is going to be a year that I'm dedicating to you." As soon as we have that badge that says Hashem. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom's inaugural committee. It's his inauguration, Rosh Hashanah. We inaugurate him as a king. I'm on your staff. I'm part of your team. I'm working for you. All doors will then open. As long as a person can honestly make that claim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, fine, you know, if you're working for me, then you're not part of the din. The din is for Bnei Adam. It's not for Malachim. It's not for people that are working for me. If my life is solely dedicated L'mancha, that is an amazing way of being Menatzeach Badin. It sounds very easy, right? It sounds nice to sit around a conference table here and talk about a life lamancha, but it's also a little bit like scary. Okay, but what am I getting myself into? By wearing that badge, what does that mean? Does that mean that I have to start being misagef myself? I have to have tanesim? I have to live in a very ascetic lifestyle? Is that what it means, that I have to like completely give myself up to the Rabbeinu Shalom? It means live in the Himalayas and take, you know, all types of vows of abstinence and celibacy and poverty and is that what it means, lamancha? That's not the Jewish definition of lamancha. Lamancha could be a life that is identical in Tavshin Ayin Tes and Tavshin Pei. Whatever we did last year, we could do this year. We're not giving up pizza. We're not giving up steak. We're not giving up a lot of the things that our car and our house and our couch and our sleep habits it's the same year. So is it just a scam that we're saying that we're working for you? No. Lamancha means that I am emphatically declaring that everything that I'm doing is for you. That means that I'm eating the same pizza, but when I'm eating the pizza in Tavshin Pei, it's different than the pizza that I ate in Tavshin Ayin Tes. The pizza that I ate in Tavshin Ayin Tes, ooh, that looks good, I'm starving, let's dig in. The pizza that I'm going to eat in Tavshin Pei is, I'm eating it to get energy to serve you. Same pizza, same enjoyment. I'm just doing it lamancha. This is a year that I'm going to give over to you. I'm working for you. When I'm playing basketball, and I love playing basketball, that's great, you could do it and play as hard as you want. But instead of having kavana that I need the exercise, I love the competition, I love the energy, I'm doing it for you, Rabbeinu Shalom. How do you chalk up playing basketball to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Very easy. I'm doing it because I need to be healthy so that I could serve you. And exercise is an activity that you do to make your body healthier. I'm breathing better, my oxygen is going into my lungs more, I'm getting skinnier, I'm getting faster, I'm getting stronger, and all of that I'm doing lamancha, it's all for you. That's the yisayid of a lamancha yid. There are many yidden that live this way. And it's not a big change in habit. You don't have to do much different. It's just a matter of changing your mindset that when you think about doing something, don't think about doing it for yourself, but think about doing it for the Rabbeinu Shalom. I just saw yesterday in a sefer, B'Shem L'Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim once gave a Musar Shmuz to his yeshiva right before Yom Kippur. And everybody was like hanging on his every word because they wanted to do tshuva and they wanted to... And what he did was, he pointed out to the Rabbeinu Shalom in front of everybody, and this was basically the Shmuz, that there are boys in Radin that came all the way from America to learn in Radin. And he said that, why did they do this? In America, they lived in the lap of luxury. America, even then, was a luxurious place to live relative to Radin. Radin was a little town without, I don't think they had indoor plumbing. I don't think they had heating in a normal way. Everything was really, really decrepit. Everything was old and rusty. And it was like the living in a third world country. It was a third world country. There's no two ways about it. Living in Radin, they didn't have food to eat. They didn't have a normal, it was freezing in the winter, it was boiling in the summer. And these boys came from America where they had the luxuries that maybe not on the level that we have today, but they lived in a much better lifestyle. And the Chafetz Chaim points out these boys and he says, why did they come all the way from America to Radin? Who in their right mind would do that? You know, if you want to do it for a 2-day trip, just to see and to daven by kvarim, that's one thing. But to stay there for years and to literally give up all of the creature comforts that they were experiencing in America, for what? And the Chavetz Chaim looks at the Rabbeinu Shalom Kaviach and he says, they did it lemancha. They didn't do it for themselves, they did it for you. And that should be his chus for all of us in din. He was like saying that these boys from America were going to be matzel in the entire Radin in their chus because they gave up so much. They gave up their life for the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is very, very true for what we do as well. We can make the same case. Obviously, we're living in America, and we have a lot of luxury, Baruch Hashem. We're not missing any meals. We have bakal mikokol. But a Jew, in a certain way, obviously is doing it all for the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's obvious that he's doing it all for the Rabbeinu Shalom. If you really stop and think about it, not that we're deprived in any which way, but you'll see as you get older and you get married and you have children, now you have children that need to be sent to yeshiva, it gets really, really expensive. Life is very expensive. And this isn't to make you panic. This is something that you probably all know. Maybe you hear your parents complaining about this, but you know, you have, let's say, one kid, two kids, three kids, and each tuition is like, you know, I don't know, depending on which school you go to, anywhere between $10,000 and $30,000 a year. Times five kids, let's say, it's $150,000 a year, let's say. If you're sending them to, or you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you know, every year in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if you realize this, but Shlema just went to Eretz Yisrael, so I'm beginning to realize it. It's besides for the actual tuition, which is about $25,000, then you have the airfare, and you have the credit card bills, and you have medical insurance, and you have all the tulim that they go on. We're talking about $50,000 a year. And then the kids call at the end of Shana Aleph and say, we are staying Shana Bet or else, you know. And then you have to give another $50,000. And then Shana Gimel. And if you don't allow them to stay Shana Gimel, oh boy. You know, big machlekes, and the Rabbeim are saying you have to disown your parents. And it does not get better from there. Now, if I didn't do this for the Rabbeinu Shalom, why am I doing this? You know, you scratch in and say, why am I doing this exactly? Shabbos, Yom Tovim, it's all for you. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for you. We forget about why we're doing it because we get caught up in this rat race of life, and it's memela. Of course we're doing it. Of course our kids are going to yeshiva. Of course we're members of the shul. Of course we're going. We're building a sukkah and we're buying matzahs and we're doing this because we're doing it. But if we're doing it because we're doing it, then we miss out on this great taina to the Rabbeinu Shalom that I'm doing in lamancha. You have to give me parnasa because I'm using your parnasa lamancha. I'm not doing it for me. If I'm doing it for me personally, then you're right. I probably don't deserve it. But if I'm able to take that badge and wear it proudly and say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, lamancha lekim chaim, that my life is dedicated to you, it's a different life. Now, you don't have to be married with kids to say the cheshbon that I just told you. Because even at your stage of life, whatever that stage is, you also have your lamancha moments. You need to be in yeshiva now. You know, it's amazing. Like, people need, you know, I'm in yeshiva. Why are you in yeshiva? Your counterparts in the world are you know, in college, doing crazy stuff, having wild times or whatever. And I'm here in yeshiva learning Gemara. That's lamancha. I'm doing that for you. I mean, I enjoy it. I don't get me. This isn't saying that we don't love Yiddishkeit. We do, hopefully. But at the end of the day, if you're able to make the case to Rabbeinu Shalom that everything that I'm doing is lamancha, I could be having a lot different. My life did not have to take this course. I could have had a different life with maybe a lot more fun, a lot more freedom, a lot more. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this lamancha. And when a person is able to look at the Rabbeinu Shalom on Rosh Hashanah and say in the tefillas, Lamancha, and we say it every day by Slichas, right? There's a famous song, Lamancha Elokeinu Asev, right? So that song really defines the whole Ruach Hayayim. This is what we're doing. It's all Lamancha. Do it for, we're doing it for you. And we were asking you to get us through the din in the schus that we have the badge that says Rabbeinu Shalom on it. We're here for you. We are your servants. And we're working for you. And we want to do everything for you and to further Shem Shamayim Ba'olam. And we want to do your ratzon. But we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for you. If we're on your staff, that means that you have to give us that special status of getting us through din. Because we're not the Hamayinam. We're not like everybody else in the world. But you just need the right kavana to get through din this way. You're doing the same thing. It's not you're not doing anything different, basically. It's just a matter of declaring emphatically that what I'm doing is lamancha, it's for you. It's not for me. There's a great vart that I always say. You know, there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, that's the title of every siman in Shulchan Aruch has its own title. The title of this siman is Yu Kol Kavanos L'Shem Shamayim, that all of your kavanas in life should be L'Shem. This isn't a musar of art, this is halacha. The Mechavers bring this down halacha, that whatever you do should be L'Shem Shamayim. And he says that, you know, when you're eating, it should be L'Shem Shamayim, when you're drinking, it should be L'Shem Shamayim. When you're walking, when you're talking, when you're doing any activities that are pleasurable, whatever you're doing in life, if you have the right kavana, and you have to have that right kavana, then that's a schus, that's a mitzvah for you. So there's a Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch. The Bir HaGra, there's a commentary of the Gra on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and Kedarka is always very makatzer. He says things in very few words, and it's sort of a Bir HaGra that you wouldn't really notice if I wasn't telling it to you, but this is what the Gra says. He says that, and from here is a yishuv for Taisa's Kash and Avodah Zarah. I think it's Daf Yud Aleph and Avodah Zarah. Okay? What's the Gra talking about? So if you look at that Gemara and Avodah Zarah, the Gemara and Avodah Zarah speaks about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And it says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he never lacked anything. He never lacked anything from his table. Rabbi Nasi was a Nasi, and he had, like, if this was his table, he would have, like, everything. Like, Snain, Blei Chazaris, Blei Meisachamo, Blei Meisachsham. Throughout the year, they didn't live in times of the jet, you know, that you had airplanes. So today, we're able to have, in the middle of the winter, peaches and strawberries, which you weren't able to get back then. But they fly them in from whoever. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had this the entire year also, even though he lived, whenever he lived, way before the jet age. That's how rich he was. That's how malchistic he was. He had tremendous bounty on his table, always. So Taisus asks there, well, I don't understand. There's another Gemara that says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when he died, Zakaf Etzer Etzbois Klape Malo. He, on his deathbed, he like put all his 10 fingers up towards Shamayim, and he says, like a Lashon Shvua almost, he says, he says, my whole life I never got hanah, not even with my small pinky. I didn't get any hanah in my life from this world. So Tyson asked as a stero. I don't understand. On one hand, we say that he had everything on his table. He had fruits the entire year. He had sushi the whole year. He had steak the whole year. He had everything that he wanted. And on the other hand, he said at the end of his life, he had nothing. He had no hanah from my lamazah. It seems like a really good steer, Taisus is asking. So Taisus answers that he didn't eat from it. He really had, you know, some stale bread and matzahs. He kept a little drawer under his table, and that's what he ate. He had some water, some bread. So why did he have it? He says, because he was the king. He was the Nasi. So he had to have, imagine you go to the White House, and, you know, and Trump is on a diet, kaviyachal. So does that mean that everybody has to be on a diet? He has a state dinner. Everybody's expecting to eat well, and they do eat well. If he doesn't want to eat, gazundei, but everybody else entirely. When the Gemara says Rabbeinu HaKadosh had all the delicacies of this world in front of him, he didn't eat from it. He was very, you know, he was completely pirish from all of the hanos of Olam Hazeh, but the people around him did eat. The Gra is saying, you don't need to say that, Taisus. I'll give you a much better pshat. The emes is that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had all the delicacies on his table, and he ate them. Oh, if he ate them, how could he say, you know why? Because he didn't eat them for his own personal benefit. He was eating them for the Rabbeinu Shalom. He ate the good foods. He ate steak and ribs and sushi and chopped liver. Whatever he ate, he wasn't eating to get hanah personally from it. That's what he meant when he says that I was never nene betz bektana. I didn't have personal pleasure from it. I enjoyed it. I tasted it. It was delicious. But I channeled all of that hanah klape mala. Every single hanah that I got in this world, I gave it to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I dedicated it to the Rabbeinu Shalom. When I'm eating the steak, I could say, Hinni Mukhan Mazuman, I'm gonna eat the steak, but I'm doing L'Shem Shamayim. My kavan is L'Shem Shamayim. That doesn't mean that I have to, like, you know, wrap the steak in a tissue and swallow it and hold my nose while I'm doing it. I could just eat it and enjoy it. But if my kavan is L'Shem Shamayim, it changes the steak into something tremendous. This is what the Gros says. And the Gros really should tell us. There's a famous story about a dibbuk in Radin. I'm not in Radin. In Vilna, there was a dibbuk. It's also a dibbuk in Radin, a different story. But the dibbuk possessed a body of a girl, and the dibbuk was like speaking out of the throat of this girl. And they basically, the Rabbanim in Vilna wanted to get that dibbuk out. So they said to the dibbuk, you know, we have the Gadol Adar lives in Vilna, a few blocks away. His name is Rabbi Eliyahu Mivilna. If he would come and he would tell you to get out of the body, would you listen? The Dibbuk says, oh, you better believe I'll listen. We're out. If the Gros says to get out, we're out. So once before they went to get the Gros, to get the Dibbuk out of the body, they, you know, why, you don't lose the opportunity to interview the Dibbuk about what's going on in Shamayim. They did the same thing with the Chavit. They asked him questions, the Dibbuk and Radin questions about what they thought about the Chavitz Chaim in Shamayim. They said, the Dibbuk said about the Chavitz Chaim, he was kitano. He was like considered like a Tana in Shamayim. They asked the Dibbuk by the Gra, by in Vilna, you know, why are you so scared of the Vilna Gain? Why would you get out of the body just because the Vilna Gain says to? So they said, what do you mean? We're petrified of the Gra. In Shamayim, like, you know, we sit there from the Gra. We tremble from the Gra in Shamayim. So they said, why? Why do you tremble from the Gra? Don't you know that the Gra eats regular stuff? He eats meat like everybody else. You know, you go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky's house, he's not eating matzahs all day. He has regular food. He has chicken, he has meat, he has The Vilna Gaon, you know, ate regular. He wasn't one of these people that were pirish and midarche. There are tzaddikim that were pirish, but the Gra was not one of them. The Gra was a person that ate regular. He ate a regular piece of steak. So they said, what are you so scared? You're a malach. You don't eat anything. The Gra eats steak. They said, you have no idea. When the Gra eats a steak, that's what we're more scared of. Because his kavana is so l'shem shamayim that it's like eating kachim. When the Gra eats a steak, it's like eating kachim. That's the worst thing that he could do, for bad malachim. Like, that's the worst thing that he could do. Because that's super powerful. That's the Gra l'shitase. That's the Gra ate. He enjoyed this world, but he didn't enjoy it for himself. He channeled it klape mali, everything that he had before he did it. And that's sort of what a bracha does, if you think about it. What is a bracha? A bracha is a reminder before we eat anything that keep it in mind that you're doing a l'shem shamayim. Baruch atah Hashem, l'keinu melech ha'olam, bar mina mezayne, shakol nibud varo. That's a statement, a fact, that you created this, you gave me this food, thank you. And with that, I'm channeling it heavenward. What I'm doing is for you. Slamancha. I saw a third Maramakim about the Gra just yesterday. The Gra says basically this Yisayit about these days, about Lamancha. He gives us this Eitzah about doing things Lamancha before Rosh Hashanah. He says a gorgeous Vart. He says that Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li. Everybody knows that's Rosh Hashanah El. But what does it mean? So he says like this. Listen to this chat. Ani L'daydi. If I can completely make a case that everything that I'm doing is to my beloved. I'm giving it all to you, Rabbeinu Shlom. This whole year, Tav Shem Peh is going to be for you. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Dai Dili, then you're mine. If I could say to you, Rabbeinu Shlom, that it's Lamancha, that Ani L'daydi, it means everything that I'm doing is for you. The Dai Dili, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're mine. You don't have to do the regular din. You have a fast pass. You can just basically cut the line and go straight into Tav Shem Peh without worrying. Because you have the badge that says that it's Lamancha, you're on the Rabbeinu Shlom staff. It's not a radical thing. It's not a change in lifestyle. This is like the easiest of all things. We don't have to be down the kapskos with this. We don't have to be mavral midaisav, which is hard sometimes to be mavater. We don't have to even be be mitzvah for ourselves to a tzibur. Obviously, all those things are great also. But I think this is like the thing that's most doable, because you don't really have to change anything about your life. You just have to sort of click a switch in your brain and say, I'm dedicating my life to the Rabbeinu Shlom. We're doing it anyway. Everything that we're doing is Lamancha, if you think about it. We're going down to Seder now, learning 3 hours of Gemara. It's Lamancha. There's no other reason for me to do this other than Lamancha. Getting married, starting a family, making parnasa, davening, shayfer, shopping for Yantif, cooking for Yantif, cleaning for Yantif. It's Lamancha. Trust me, it's Lamancha. It ain't for me. I'm doing it for you, Rabbeinu Shlom. But if we don't think about it, then it's a lost opportunity. We're squandering precious opportunity because we're not using our life Lamancha. We're going through all of the steps of life without actually getting the benefit of it. If Ani L'daydi, if I could declare this Elul going into Rosh Hashanah that I'm Taker for you, Ani L'daydi, I'm here for you. I'm on your staff. I'm working for you. It's all being done for you. It's not for my own hana. I'm going to change my mindset and make it that this coming year is not going to be for me. It's all about you. I don't know how often you have to even say it. Maybe if I say today, I make a declaration right here and now that Tav Shem Peh is for the Rabbeinu Shlom. Maybe that's enough. Maybe I don't have to do it every... Obviously, we should have that, concept throughout the year, but maybe just declaring it is enough. Maybe just that frame of mind that we're working for the Rabbeinu Shlom, we're on his staff, we're doing things, but it's not for me, it's for you. And now when I drink a cup of coffee, I'm not just doing it because I need coffee, but I'm doing it because if I have the coffee, I'm going to be able to have a good first Seder and daven well and live well and be normal. And, then that coffee is like the, it's like the kiyar in the Beis HaMikdash. And a steak is like a carbon, and the pizza is like a mincha. Everything that I do is for you. A person like that could literally change the entire course of his life with just kavana, with just having the right frame of mind. And that's a tremendous chus. In Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to aksiva chasimutayva, a good kibben shiar, and all of these aces that we gave should all work to be menatzeach badin.